So blessed by the worship team and all that they do. That was a good song. It's always been you, God. That's why we're here. Well, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16 this morning. So if you want to get your Bibles to 1 Samuel 16, we want to continue to talk about this trip. We're going to Pennsylvania. If you're interested in jumping on the bus with us, you got to let us know. We have 54 seats available. Sight and Sound, their push or their purpose is to help bring the Bible to life. So we're going to walk through the next 10 weeks through the life of David, and then the hope is to go see this play of David and then be able to be encouraged in our walk and our growth and our relationship with the Lord. If you have questions, you don't know how to sign up, you want to sign up, I'll be in the back at the end. It would be a great opportunity to come on the bus. What could be more fun than 13 hours on a SEER bus with a bunch of Christians? I haven't found anything yet, so I'm going to go because it's my idea. I feel like I should go. Wouldn't that be bad? Hey, have a great trip. Let me know how it works out. That would not be good. Oh, I digress. So let me know. Let me know if you want to go. It'll be a great trip. It's going to be a great opportunity. We're going to go to the tabernacle as well that's in Lancaster. It's a life-size replica of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. So we're going to do a study on that in a small group later on. And then we're also going to eat well. We're going to go to Shady Maple. If you've ever been to Lancaster, it's the Valley of Gluttony. It's wonderful. It's a little taste of heaven, this side of heaven, and a whole lot of heartburn. So what a great opportunity to go. So if you're interested, let me know, okay? Are you with me? Okay, this crew, this service has the most caffeine in their system. So I'm looking for some vigor and some excitement and some talk back, okay? Ah, there we go. All right, yeah, we're good now. We're good. All right, we're in 1 Samuel 16. I need to tell you something. I figured out what you're doing because I do the same thing to you. Hey, how you doing? Your response? Good. Your question to me, how you doing? My response? Good. How are the kids? Good. Your response? How are my kids? Good. We do that, don't we? Have you ever been in that situation where you went to someone and you said, how you doing? And for the next 20 minutes, they actually told you how they're doing. And you're standing there going, yeah, I wasn't prepared for that. What do I say? What do I do? Oh, sorry to hear that. Have a great day. We'll put a little Christianese in it. Oh, you're having a bad day? We'll pray about that. You walk away and quick, and then you write down in the back of your mind, don't ask them how they're doing. They really tell you. You laugh, but it's happened, hasn't it? And you've been caught flat-footed. You don't know how to respond when someone's in a crisis. What do I say? What do I do? How do I respond? Last week, we anointed David as king, and this week, David's going to have an opportunity for ministry. And I think this is a great message to encourage us and to equip us as we go out and minister in a world that is full of crises. Because our world right now, we're not doing too well. Agreed? But we have the answer to the crisis. Agreed? His name is Jesus. And what a great opportunity we have this morning to be encouraged and challenged and ultimately changed as we continue to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 16, all right? If you want to take notes this morning, this is a great one to track in your Bible. The first thing I want to look at is there is a crisis. And there are multiple crises happening in our world. You let your mind wander for 20 seconds, you'll find one. But what do we say? What do we do? How do we respond? That's the question that I hope to answer by the end of our time together. Saul is in a crisis this morning. Here's his crisis. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized Saul. Boy, that is a loaded verse. If you really want to get in deep to where I have been, you let me know. I'll get you copies of commentaries. Some are free, some are online. I will help you get to my studies. This took hours to plow through. So hours of study in the next 2 minutes. I'm not going to do this verse full justice, but let me tell you where I want to go with it. I want you to get your Bible. I want you to look at 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 12. Look at verse 12. We left last week. David was in the field, and he wasn't even invited when the prophet came to worship and to crown the next king. We forgot David. So Samuel's standing there saying, I'm not going to sit until David comes. So verse 12, so they sent and brought David in. Now he was ruddy, which means he was younger. He was a kid. That's why we're calling this kid to king. He had beautiful eyes, and he was handsome in appearance. And the Lord said to Samuel, arise, that's the guy. He's the one. So verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil. Last week he was prepared and walked in obedience with the horn of oil. He took that horn of oil and he anointed David in the presence and in the midst of his brothers. Boy, that would have made them jealous. The kid of the family, the youngest one, the one that I got passed over for, he gets the kingdom. We're going to see that coming next week. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 13, came mightily upon David from that day forward. Look at what's going on in the life of David. Look what's going on in the life of Saul. Complete opposites. David has this anointing on him. David has the Spirit of God in him, on him, and through him. Look at what's going on in the life of Saul. The exact opposite. Saul has lost the anointing of the Lord. Saul has lost the Spirit of the Lord. Saul is in a place that he is being terrorized by evil spirits. What does this look like? Is this demon oppression? Is this demon possession? I don't know. I don't know. I read 7 or 8 commentators. I get 8 or 9 different opinions. Commentators are divided on this. So I stand before you. I don't know. Here's what I do know. When I go to things I don't know, I try to go back to what I do know. Here's what I know. Saul's not in a good spot. Saul is in a place of great turmoil, great trial, and great trouble. Saul is in a crisis. Now, second thing about this, is this God judging Saul for the sin that he has committed in 1 Samuel 13 and 15? Maybe. I don't know. Commentators are split. Is this God bringing an evil spirit upon Saul to break him down? Because often in the trials of life, when it all falls apart, we finally bend our knee. Our spirits break, and we cry out to the Lord, God, I need help. Commentators are split on that. 2 different opinions, 2 different views. Come back to what I do know. Saul is in a difficult, difficult spot. He's in crisis mode. Without the show of hands. You hear me? I don't want to see your hands yet. Have you ever been there? Where you have sinned against the Lord, and there has been conviction in your heart? Have you been there where you have just gone through something and you feel like you're all alone? This is where Saul is. He is in a desperately crisis mode. One commentator, he put it this way. He said, if God in his grace do not rule us, sin and Satan will have possession of us. All commentators come together and they say it different ways, but they sum it up like this. How sad of a state Saul is in because he has lost the presence and the relationship with the Lord. That is a sad statement. If you will, if I could venture in, probably one of the saddest statements in Scripture. Someone that has had everything and chose sin and lost everything. So Saul, his servants, they say to him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. So the first thing is, Saul has a group of people around him that are able to speak truth into his life. My question to you is, who is in your inner circle that has the right and the privilege to look at you and say, something's not right? Something is different. Notice Saul does not get feedback from all of the kingdom, saying from the whole kingdom, hey, the whole kingdom says you're being terrorized. No, that's not what Scripture says. There are the servants, the inner core around Saul, that have the ability to speak into Saul's life and point out the things that maybe Saul does not see. Because sometimes we're so busy looking out, we don't take time to look at our heart. And it brings us back to our memory verse for this series. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So there's this group of guys, these servants that are around Saul, and they say to him, Saul, we need a moment with you. We have some hard truth for you to hear, but it's for your good. We've noticed that there was an evil spirit from God. Something happened within Saul that was able to be viewed by the external. His countenance changed. Did he become angry? I don't know. What I do know is that when this spirit came upon him and it terrorized him, he changed. And it was a change visible enough that the servants saw it. And then they realized the evil spirit came from God himself. Was it to judge? Was it to break him? I don't know. But here's what I do know. Saul is not in a good spot. Saul is really struggling in his walk with the Lord, in his walk with life. He is just not thriving. I would push it further. He's not even barely surviving. The first question I have for you is, who in your life do you know that's struggling? I would challenge you to write their name down in the upper right-hand corner, upper left-hand corner, write their name somewhere. That first name that when you saw that question, boom, there they were. You write that name down. I'm going to keep coming back to that name throughout the rest of the message. Because we each know somebody that is not doing well. We each know somebody that is in a crisis. With the crisis, there becomes a need. This is going to be really interesting to tease out for the rest of our time. David is coming in, but Saul has a need. Saul comes and they say to Saul, let our Lord, not Lord as in God, but let the master, let the king, is really what the context is saying. So I'm going to put a little Thomism in this for us this morning. So let our king now command your servants who are before you. Hey, we want to do something. King, give us an order, give us a command. And so many times, friends, when we see people struggling, we want to do something. Give me something to do. And sometimes in the crises of life, there's not much we can do to help out. So among this court, here comes Saul. An evil spirit is somehow terrorizing him. The servants see his countenance change, and the servants look at him and say, we need to do something. Tell us what to do. Give us a command. So look what it says. Let them seek a man. Give us this order. Have us seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp. Why the harp? It's one of the only instruments that was invented at that time. I would submit to you, it's one of the most soothing and calming instruments of the time. A trumpet, if you play it, I don't mean any disrespect, it's not very soothing. But a harp, you play the harp, and it sounds nice. Are you with me? Great, no one enjoys the harp. That's okay. You go home and YouTube the harp, and it's going to be wonderful. But look at what he says. We're seeking a man who is skillfully playing the harp. We're noticing what you need, and we're helping you to find the need that is in your life. And then when we find this guy, it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is upon you that he shall play the harp with his hand and you will be made well. There's going to be a ministry of music that is here. Again, without the showing of hands this morning, when you cannot sleep at night, you do one of three things. A, you get up, you get a glass of water, and you try again. B, you turn on the TV, and then you try to fall asleep to the TV. Or C, some of you play music. You have the ambient sound behind you. That's what's going on here. There's this evil spirit that's coming upon Saul, and it's terrorizing him. And yet, they say, you know what we can do? When that evil spirit comes and changes your countenance, there's a ministry of music that can come to calm your soul. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me now a man who can play well. Look at what Saul says. Who is Saul? He's the king. What the king says goes. Be challenged by what Saul did. Saul did not look at his servants and say, you all are fired. Go to the guillotine. I'm going to kill you. Saul said, you're right. I need help. And I don't know if it's a Tom thing. I don't know if it's because I'm a man. I don't know if it's because I'm a Mainer. I don't know if it's because I'm American. I don't know if it's because I'm stubborn. But I don't like to ask for help. Maybe some of you would stand up and say, it's because you're prideful. I'll take that too. We do not like to ask for help. And Saul is at a heavy crisis. People around him see it, and they say, we can help you. And Saul says, fine. Go find for me somebody that will take away the pain, that will take away the struggle, that will come and minister to me when things are going poorly. So the servants, they say, hey, I know a guy. I know a guy. You ever have someone say, I know a guy? And you're like, yeah, probably not. This servant says, I know a guy. And behold, I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. We know him. It's David. But David's already been anointed. And David's out working in the field. I know a guy. He's from the tribe of, or son of Jesse, from Bethlehem. Look at what they say. He's a skillful musician. That's the first quality that they're looking for in David. Look at what Scripture does, and notice how it's going to change. He's a skillful musician. He's a mighty man of valor. He's courageous. He's a warrior. Come back next week. We're going to have a special guest. He'll be heads and tails above us, but he'll lose his head by the end of the service. Trust me. That was supposed to be funny. It wasn't. One who can speak well. So he's well articulated, and he's not hard to look at. Notice what they say. Notice the things that they notice first versus what they notice last. Look at all that he does. Look at what his hands can do. Look at what his feet can do. Look at how strong he is. Look at everything on the outward appearance. We're so focused on the outward appearance. But God is focused on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. And so this servant says, I know a guy, he can play the harp, he's a courageous guy, he's a good warrior, he can speak well, he's not hard to look at, but God is with him. Go back to verse 14, where the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. That Saul knows what he doesn't have. He knows he doesn't have the blessing of the Lord. You know what Saul wants? He wants the blessing of the Lord. And so he wants to surround himself with a guy that has the presence of God. And when you're going through a crisis, you want someone that's got that peace, that calm, that comfort, and the fortitude to know that God is there. And so they say, we know a guy. So the question that I have for you is, are you prepared to serve? Is your heart prepared to serve? We get so focused on what our hands can do, on what our feet can do, on how we look, that we forget to look at our hearts. And out of all the qualities that David has, his best one by far is that he has been anointed by God. And that person that you wrote down, that crisis they're going through, if we would pause the service and you would stand up and say, this is what they're going through, if 10 of you stood up, 9 of you would say, I don't know how to help. The one offer we can do, and one way we can show them, is to point them back to the cross of Christ. And out of the crises of Saul's life, you know what he needs more than a harp player? He needs a heart transformation, because he's got sin in his life. So are you prepared? Is your heart ready to minister? You cannot take someone someplace you have not been yourself. You cannot take someone to the heart of God, to the cross of Christ, if you have not been there yourself. So there's the crisis. The evil spirit is tormenting Saul. There is a need. I need a harp player. Who plays the harp? Now, here comes David. He's got an opportunity, because isn't it just a coincidence that that guy knows how to play the harp? So, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the flock. What happened in verses 1 through 11? If you go back in scripture, David has been anointed as king. He is the new king. Scripture does not tell us that he's sitting in the tent and his brothers are serving him. Scripture does not say that David is sitting by the chair in the recliner and his brothers are doing the laundry. David is out in the field, gets anointed. You are the next king. Okay, I got work to do. I'm going back out to the field to be a shepherd. We know what people think of shepherds. They're uneducated, they're unreliable, they're looked down on in society, and that's what the new king is doing. He's not waiting for the kingship. He's going out and serving. I've got a job to do. Let me go back out to the field and minister and serve my father by taking care of the sheep. So Jesse, he took a donkey and he loaded it with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat. And he sent them to Saul by David, his son. Hey, I need your son. Now, David's got a certain niche. He plays the harp. Jesse does not want to send his son empty-handed. So he loads up a donkey with bread and wine and a young goat. Let's not miss what this is. You know what Hebrew commentators went and said this is? You want to write this down. This is the first of many instances of a potluck. It's a casserole. And we forget the ministry, and we minimize the ministry that can happen with something so simple as a meal. For those of you that had kids, how great was it when you came home from the hospital and there was a hot casserole waiting for you? Husbands, what a blessing it is when someone brings a meal and you just have to nuke it. Bing, 20 seconds, look what I cooked for you, honey, I love you. You've got a mom that comes home with someone that's new, a baby. The baby sleeps during the day and is up at night. The 2-year-old that's already there sleeps at night and is up during the day. The mom is up 24 hours a day and the husband's away at work. And we miss an opportunity to minister physically to a need. David is going to minister with the harp. Jesse finds an opportunity to minister physically. That person you wrote down, I go back to them and ask you, is there a physical need that you can meet with them? They might be in a crisis that you go, I don't know what to do. But you know the blessing of a meal. You know the blessing of physical care. Maybe the person that you wrote down, they don't have kids. Maybe they're lonely. You know the blessing and the encouragement a cup of coffee can do. Cup of coffee and a donut, you knock on a door and say, I brought one of each extra. You have an hour? And you'll see their countenance change because people are struggling. You might not be able to help with everything. Jesse can't help Saul with the evil spirit terrorizing him, but he can minister to him by sending him a jug of wine, bread, and a goat. How about you? What can you do physically to minister a blessing to somebody? For you, $15 at Sam's Club for a prepackaged meal. For them, the world. Don't miss the simplicity of a meal and the blessing that it can be. So now, there's the ministry. David's been called into service. Time to serve. So he's going to have the opportunity for ministry. Now let me pause before we get into 21 through 23. We want to do the ministry, but sometimes we are too anxious and we tell them of their opportunity and tell them what they need to do. Ministry takes time. And sometimes people are not receptive to the ministry until they're broken. Now I will only say for myself, sometimes I get too eager and I get too quick to jump in and help where people are not ready to have the help. You need to wait until they're ready to receive the help. Let's go to verses 21 through 23. Then David came to Saul. He came with his harp. He came with a donkey loaded with all the goods, and he attended him. What did David do? He played the harp. What did David not do? David did not mock Saul. David did not go in and say, boy, aren't you a knucklehead for doing what you did in 1 Samuel 13 and 15. You sinned against the Lord, and now you've lost the kingdom. By the way, I'm the new king, so pack your bags, pack the U-Haul, and get out. He didn't do that. He went to him and said, I'm here to play the harp. He knew the need. He was equipped for the need, and he met the need at the time. And what happened? Saul loved him greatly. Why? Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. How do you show them you care? You give them a donkey full of bread, a jug of wine, and a young goat, and you play the harp. It's that simple, and it's that difficult. And David didn't go in and tell him all the things that he did wrong. David did not go in and tell him all the things that he was going to do. David didn't go in and tell him anything. You know what David did? He played the harp when he was called, and that's all he did. And then look what happens. Saul loved him greatly, and David became the armor bearer, the guy that carried the king's sword and shield, his right-hand man. I think of this like the Secret Service. The guy that protects the president is not the guy they hired off the street 3 hours before. He is the one that worked himself through the ranks. He earned his stripes to protect the president. David does not walk in and say, this is what's going to happen, and then automatically he's the armor bearer. It takes time. As we minister, we want to minister and fix it right away. Sometimes it takes time. And David is promoted to the armor bearer. So Saul sent to Jesse, he says, hey, let David now stand before me. He has found favor in my sight. As a disciple of Christ, as a Christian, I want to find favor with people I minister to. So I asked the text this question, how did David find sight in the eyes of Saul? How? Because he didn't overstep. Sometimes I get too aggressive. You need to do this. Dave, you need to do this. And this is what has to happen. And dot, 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 dot. And I just tell Dave all this wrong, and I need to tell Dave what he needs to do right. Guess how Dave receives that? Yeah, just like that. And I shut him down. But over time, David has found sight, favor in the sight of Saul. Saul has lost the anointed. David's the new king. Saul doesn't know about David as far as the kingship. And David is now in the court of Saul, ministering. Do not miss God's timing and God's hand upon the life of David. So it was, whenever the evil spirit came from God to Saul, David would take his harp and play with his hand. David did not stick his nose into Saul's business. David did not overstep and advise Saul about all the things that he was doing wrong. David simply served where he was called to serve. Why? Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And he earned relational equity and ability to speak into Saul's life. Because when Saul needed him, David was there. He played with his harp, and Saul would be refreshed and would be well. There's a ministry of music. And I was challenged by David this morning with this question. Am I willing to serve? Am I willing to minister? Because if I was David, and I'm not, I would look at Saul and say, suffer. You brought this on yourself. I'm the new king. I want to watch you squirm and suffer. Leave me alone. I'm in the field with my father's flock, playing my harp, minding my own business. David doesn't say that. David, he comes and he ministers to Saul. Are you willing to minister? Are you willing to step out and say, you know what? There's a need that I can meet. There is an opportunity to encourage someone. That person that you have him still? That name you wrote down 25 minutes ago. Who is it, and are they struggling? Can you help them? Is your heart ready to serve? Is there a physical need? You might look at it and say, I do not know. I do not have the training or the physical ability to help them with all their needs, but can you help them with a meal? Can you shovel their sidewalk? Can you buy them a bag of salt for the ice that's on their driveway? Can you take them a cup of coffee and a donut? Can you call them? Can you text them? Can you, whatever. Is there a physical need? But then it really comes down to this question. Are you really willing to minister? Are you willing to take time out of your schedule to minister to someone that is struggling? Because church, lean in. We're living in a world that is in a lot of crisis right now. We're living in a world that says, we need this, we need this. I need a harp player. You know what our world needs? A heart transformation by coming to the Lord. And we are the ones that are tasked, equipped, and sent to go take the greatest story ever told. It's the story of redemption through Jesus Christ. On Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. Are you willing to take that to a world that's in a crisis? Lord, we're so thankful for your word. Pray that it's been encouraging to us, Lord, to know that there are people that are struggling and in a crisis. Maybe there's somebody here, whether in the building or online, that's in a crisis, and they'd say, I'm the one in crisis. That's me. I pray, Lord, that you might minister comfort and peace to them. Lord, for those that are here, it says, I know a person. I wrote a name down. I pray, Lord, that you might help us to minister to them a physical need so that we can minister a spiritual need, that we can take them to the foot of the cross, that they can meet a Savior named Jesus, the Savior named Jesus Christ. It's on him alone that we stand. Lord, help us. Give us the desire to minister so that when the next time we ask someone how are they doing and they tell us that they're struggling, Lord, give us the boldness to speak that truth. Give us the boldness to meet that physical need so that we can minister peace, love, joy, and comfort that ultimately comes through you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.